Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Supernatural forces of malevolent evil are seeking to bring the Earth to its knees. Only the summoning to the planet of a true superhero can save us from demonic control.
Supergirl.
Leave this place and do no harm. Destroy her!
Now I am really upset.
Supergirl. A fantastic adventure to make your spirits soar. Supergirl, coming this summer.
Hello and welcome to Smash Pod Royale, a podcast celebrating all the Bond and Bond-related films by those who enjoy, hate, or, you know, just aren't asked about them. Hosted by me, John Rame. This week we'll be heading to Argo City to have a drink or two with Peter O'Toole and to find out if Superman's cousin can save the day while he's out. Yes, it's Supergirl. And joining me to be bathed in soft focus and lighting is Johnny Candon.
Hooray! Hello.
Hey, hello. Welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me back. It's a pleasure.
Ah, oh, this is so much fun,
isn't it?
I'll say balls out of the bath on this one.
Yeah.
On paper, this is a terrible, terrible film.
Yeah. But yeah, that's fair.
I've got such a soft spot for it because I was so excited about everything Superman at the time.
Yeah, you see, you could have put Superman on a packet of cigarettes and I'd have smoked one on 10.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
And it's I remember Supergirl coming out and being just the more super things, the better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the posters and stuff where it's sort of her flying through a kind of a void or space
with
or something, with
a sort of dragony monster on it. Oh,
yeah. And she's got the what's she holding in her hand? That glowing thing. What's that? It's so much. Yeah. I think as a child,
the Omega Hedron.
Mm. Yeah, but I think at that age, my imagination made about 9 different versions of Supergirl.
Yeah.
Before I'd seen it.
Yeah.
And they were all better than this.
Yeah.
So,
it's very much like when that Masters of the Universe movie came out, and I was 10.
Oh God!
Like, you could have done that a million ways, but you did this. Okay.
Yeah. Am I right in thinking? Because I saw Masters of the Universe again about a year ago.
Mm.
I think at Christmas actually on Film 4 or something, and it was. Is the girl? No, it's not. Is it? I was going to say, is the girl who plays Lucy Lane in this film, which we'll get to?
Mm.
She's not the girl in. It's Courtney Cox.
It's Courtney Cox. Yeah.
There you go, Monica.
Yeah, which is, you know, the number one thing firemen have to deal with.
Courtney Cox.
Yeah. I was thinking about things up bath plugs, but never mind.
I just got. That's all firemen have to deal with.
Yeah. But all they do is, because there's fire alarms these days, they just have to respond to people and their knobs stuck in taps.
For whatever reason. For whatever reason. And it's. But yeah, this film, it promised so fucking much and, you know, delivered so very mental. It's
at least it gives us an exciting opening titles, and I like Jerry Goldsmith's music.
You see, I right, so as I said before we started recording, I watched Supergirl about a month ago, and then I forgot a lot of it, and then I watched it again this morning just to sort of bone up on, you know, what we're going to talk about. And that music is it's like a hangover to me now. It's like it's just. Yeah, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad. It's just it's quite shrill. It comes at you in waves, and it's just Is Superman's theme, is the John Williams Superman theme repetitive?
No,
not really. No, it's beautiful. It's like Star Wars. It's good. Whereas this is it just goes da 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 da, and then it goes rah, has this big shrieky bit, and you go, oh god, all right. Yeah, it just washes over you like pain, but it's not bad. And as far as it's the opening of Supergirl, it's quite. It could be the opening with all the different sort of mysterious colors and all this kind of thing coming at you. Like it could be the opening of any fantasy. It could be the opening of Masters Universe. It could be the opening of you know, it's just happening. But again, really really exciting when you see it in the cinema, and I couldn't fucking wait. I was so get it on Supergirl, you know, and so that it's got a good opening, and you can tell money's been spent on it. Like last time I was on, we were talking about Superman 4, and you can tell that money had not been spent on that.
Yeah.
In fact, money had been stolen from that. They were promised 140 million or something. Oh no, they promised something like 34 million quid.
Yeah.
And then they got 17.
Yeah.
So it's with this, the cash is there. They've made a good go of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the opening titles is very much like a lava lamp full of like sort of metal typography just floating about.
Yeah, and I've no problem with that. No. Yeah, it's good. It's very good.
But then we cut to Kara.
Yeah.
Played by Helen Slater. Helen Slater's now, because of the excitement wrapped in this film, Helen Slater's now like, whenever I see her in something, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I did look her up because of, obviously she was, what, 19 when she made this? Mm. And she's done loads of things. She's been in lots of things since, but nothing as high profile as Supergirl.
No.
And she was in the TV show of Supergirl, which is on, has just finished playing. Was she playing her mum on Earth or her
something
Kryptonian
like that.
Mum? Yeah, I think she plays her adopted mum. Mm. But it's... She's been in things like Caroline in the City, things like that, you know, all those sitcoms from the 90s. But I remember thinking she was look, Helen, if you're listening, you were 19, okay, it's fine. She sort of plays Kara as if she's a little bit stoned or a bit drunk or something.
A bit drunk,
You know what I mean? She's wandering around Argo City, which just looks like the inside of a huge shopping centre. Just lots of... Is it corridors?
Peter O'Toole's just got this sort of dildo that makes things, and he's just wandering around making weird things.
And you think in a finite amount of space, like if it is quite a small place, if some fucker was walking around building things, you'd be like, all right, do you want to just knock that on the head now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We can't fit. He's going, I'm going to do another tree. It's fine. We don't know what trees are. Stop making them. And, but she walks through a school at one point. She just walks through a class and goes, "Oh, sorry." And the teacher's like, "It's all right." You know, it's like she's the village idiot. They're all just a bit used to her. It's like, "Oh, here comes Kara." You know, I mean, "Hi, Kara."
I mean, I'm not being horrible or misogynistic here, but if you were Helen Slater and you watched this bit back where she's in Argo City at the beginning, she looks bloody awful. What have they done to her?
How do you mean? Just sort of...
They've made her look like blotchy and the hair's really bad.
Yeah, and she's sort of... There's not a lot of dignity to her character in this part. Like, we're leaping ahead a little bit, but when she has the wand and she makes a big fucking mosquito for whatever reason, she sat there where her legs spread out and she just looks... You kind of go, is this the most dignified?
Yeah.
Because obviously, in this sort of... If we're talking about this as a story, she's the princess who has to go off and save the kingdom, and she's just sat there with her fanny out just making a moth. You know what I mean? So
but as you say, she's behaving like she's the town simpleton.
Yeah, and I guess it's supposed to be charming and sort of innocence, But I don't know how old Kara's meant to be. I'm assuming 19, which is the same age. But oh, hang on, though. When she goes to school, when she goes to Earth, she's probably about 15 or 16.
Yeah.
But she's a bit of an idiot. Mm. She just, you know, maybe if she stopped and sat down in that school and listened for a while, she might be okay. But she just wanders about hanging out with some, like, quite old man, you know, and just asking him dopey questions. What is a tree? You know, and there's a very... As the film goes on, you realise she knows an awful lot about Earth things.
Yeah.
And very little about Earth things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. You don't warm to her immediately. Like, I mean, when... let's take Superman as the template, mm-hmm. because obviously this was supposed to be the beginning of a Supergirl film series, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. They were hoping this would be like a franchise. And when you're watching Superman, like, I guess they do all the right things. They sort of go, oh yeah, we feel sorry for him because of this, like his dad's died. Mm. We like him because he's this. He's got a bit of humility and stuff, and his mum's raised him. In this, I don't really know who her parents are. Like, I mean, they sort of... they barely react to her going off in a spaceship.
Well, I think Mia Farrow is used to her daughters getting stolen
by old blokes.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Oh, fuck's sake. We're going to have to start chaining them up. No, don't do that.
What's happened to this one? Oh, she's got in a spaceship and fucked off up a hole. Oh, well, that's not as bad as what happened to the other one.
Yeah.
You know, so... yeah, that's it. Like, they barely... That's a payday, though, isn't it? Like, I mean, if you think that's great. Simon Ward, he must have been on set for what, a day?
If that. And he looks really like Keith Chegwin here as well, which is unfortunate.
He really does.
Yeah,
yeah, he really does.
Yeah, Simon Ward says about three things.
He shouts her name, then she flies away, and then he says to Zaltar, is that Peter O'Toole's name?
Zaltar, yeah.
Yeah, he says, oh, you bloody idiot, or something like that. And then they'll just go about their business. And he goes, look, and I love Peter O'Toole's sort of petulance as well. He goes, well, count yourselves lucky. You're all going to die. Mm. I've got to live forever in jail.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know, sorry wouldn't be out of question here, but, you know, thanks.
But it really feels like he wants to go to jail.
I would.
Yeah.
To be honest, if the choice was freezing and starving to death, stick me in a jail where I live forever with the potential of being released somewhere along the line. Because I imagine in the Phantom Zone, I don't know, I think back like to the comics years ago, I think if you're put in the Phantom Zone, you're just there and you don't age or anything. Mm. And so if you're released 100 years later, you still look the same. So yes, I think they should all go to the fucking Phantom Zone.
Yeah, I'd go to the Phantom and live, Zone.
I'd live there and until she turns up with the batteries again. But it's just again, like, I remember I watched a few weeks ago a critique of Supergirl, and it was talking about plot holes and things. And I was going, I don't know, are there many plot holes? There's a plot hole. Mm. If you've got a place to go to that you can be alive forever until things improve, go there. Mm. And it's just, and then when I watched it again this morning, it's just full of stuff that makes no sense whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
At all. It's bananas.
Also, Peter O'Toole has a very distinct way of acting, right?
Yeah.
He's pissed as fuck in this, isn't he?
It's the Tom Baker style that we've grown to know and love. Yeah, it's just sort of growling at people.
He's like,
goes,
Cara, He just talks like that all the time. Oh, I'd like a kebab, Cara.
Yeah, exactly. I was just sort of pissed down my left leg. Here, take this thing and hide it. What is a tree? Fuck off.
He's basically a prototype of Rick from Rick and Morty.
Yeah, exactly. His tree looks nothing like a tree. It's just like a load of weird rubber bands all weaved together. But, you know, bless him, he's hammered. If somebody said, draw a tree. Wouldn't have a clue.
He's your dad putting one of your toys together on Christmas Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Cara, I think I've made a steam train.
Where is it? Up my ass. Okay, thanks, Dad. Open Transformers. Yes. But, he's all of the people in Argo have... That is a day out in Elstree, or wherever they did this.
Pinewood.
At Pinewood, yeah, was it? And, yeah. So at most, the most, like, they spent more time in the car getting there than they did in costume.
Also, Peter O'Toole's character Zoltar looks like he's in the Argo City Pro Celebrity Golf Tournament.
Yeah.
With his, like, Pringle jumper on.
Yeah. I did wonder about the designs, because it's like they know they're fictional characters, so everybody else is dressed in white, but the important ones have colours on them, you know. And they go, yeah, we're the protagonists here. The rest of you are all just extras, you know. But it's I just was surprised at how small it felt as well. Like, Krypton feels like fucking vast.
It
looks from the outside like a little tent, which I think it was.
I think it's supposed to be like a bit of Krypton that broke off and landed on another planet, and they've made a planet out of it.
Again, this is something we need to discuss, because I don't really know what they mean by inner space. Like they're going, oh, they were in outer space, we're in inner space, and you go, elaborate, and they don't. And then when she eventually goes off in the thing,
in
there for a while, in the love egg, and she's in there for a bit, and we cut away then to the villain. But when she's in the, when we come back to her, she's already dressed in her Superman, Supergirl clothes.
Yeah.
And it opens up for no reason.
Yeah.
And she flies out and just flies out of a lake.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
Were they under the lake?
It's perfectly simple, Kara. I want to inject you into the buttocks of Martin Short.
Okay. And how will I get into a lake? Shut up. Just do it.
Just wait That's till he goes for a wee, Kara.
And go out his dick.
Full size.
Just Helen Slater bursting out of Martin Short, screaming bloody dick.
It's like that bit in Alien. They're all holding him down. She's like coming out of his urethra.
Yeah, just her hand first. Just comes out. And so it's just covered in blood and cum. And we're writing Supergirl too. That's what's happening here, John. Yeah. We're writing Supergirl too. But she gets, I don't, you see, this is again, he's definitely a little bit tipsy, but I mean, that's, you know, no one can sue us on that.
Well,
because I
he's
think
Peter pissed and he's taken the power source for the whole city to show her.
Yeah.
She then, as he's talking to Mia Farrow about sad her other daughter's gone missing with a bloke who likes jazz.
But what good films? What good films he makes?
I mean, can you separate the art from the artist? She's playing with his dildo and makes, as you say, like a mosquito, a giant mosquito, which she then brings to life with the Omegahedron, and it flies out of the city, cutting a hole in the polystyrene. No, the plastic.
Yeah, which the city's shield is made of.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, someone must have thrown a stone in there
or something.
You know, and you think...
playing golf.
Yeah, which he's obviously been outdoing.
We lost Ronnie Corbett this morning, Kara.
Where's he gone? In a space, just Ronnie Corbett shooting at him.
He lands in Peter Cook's picnic. And he's not the one about the picnic.
it's like the whole place is made of this fucking plastic thing that, you know, used to get in greenhouses and stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, so the moth flows through that.
And the Omegahedron flies out as well.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and this is when you realise he's a really petulant drunk,
mm-hmm.
because Simon Ward, whatever his character's name goes, you stole the Omegahedron. And he goes, correction, I lost. I'd have fucking punched him. I'd have knocked him spark out. It's just like, don't be a cunt, Zaltar.
Yeah.
Long story short, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And even then it's like, count yourselves lucky. I'm going to live forever in prison. At which point she sneaks off. She just wanders away and gets into a space.
One notices, yeah.
Yeah, nobody behaves like a person would. You know what I mean? And nobody goes, in this quite small bit of Krypton that we live on, you're taking up a big platform with this ball, love egg. What are you going to do with that? He's going, oh, well, I'm going to leave at some point. He's just a cunt. He's just... Zaltar deserves to go to jail forever. And they should have put him in there before.
Also, within the love egg that she gets in is the costume, right? So are we to suggest that when Zaltar gets in there, if he did, he'd emerge on Earth in a skirt?
Yeah, but that's probably where he's going.
I'm Zaltar.
Yeah, and this is what I look like on my planet. Don't say anything. You know, maybe he just was going off to be... Why did he make clothes in Kara's size and put them in his space?
It's almost like he's that Michael Sams, the man that kidnapped that estate agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to bundle Kara in. Kara, we're going to play golf on Earth.
Oh, what's this? Is that where my cousin... Yes, it's where your fucking cousin lives. So this is my point. They do and they don't know an awful lot about Earth. And if... Like Mia Farrow says, oh, somebody says you're going to leave. if you could, wouldn't you? Like, I mean, you're stuck in this quite... It looks really small to me.
Mm.
It looks tiny. And they're all sat around just going, oh, fucking hell, don't breathe too heavily. There's only enough oxygen for a few of us. You know, if the Mad Wizard had made a ball that you could fly through a chute to get to Earth, I'd be gone. I'd steal it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be there next day.
No.
So, you know, she fucks off.
And they're like, well, what are you going to do about it, Zoltar? And he goes, well, I suppose I should go to the Phantom Zone. Bye. That hasn't solved any of our problems. Thanks very much.
Again. So, yeah, so she's off flying through this brilliant vortex and everything like that. And we're going, oh, that looks pretty good. And she's doing some good, oh, where the fuck am I acting? You know, all that kind of thing. And then we cut away to our villains, who we should be very excited about.
Mm.
And then they prove us wrong slightly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like Faye Dunaway. Legend of stage and screen, absolutely amazing. One of the, you know, one of the tops. And Peter Cook, faultless, can't have a word against him.
Yeah.
By the end of this film, he's your ardor slightly dampens towards either of them.
Absolutely, it's very annoying and sad, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, when somebody said to you, sits you down and says that we're making a Supergirl film, these are the people in it. And it's probably, it's the same template as Superman. It's like, we'll find somebody unknown to play the lead. That's going to be fine. And then we'll just surround them by talent. So where we've got Gene Hackman, we've got Faye Dunaway, where we've got Ned Beatty, we've got Peter Cook or Brenda Vaccaro, whoever. But it's all going to be fucking brilliant. And you think, excellent.
Mm.
So it's not the lake that Supergirl flies out of, but it's an A lake.
And, it's A lake, yeah.
Yeah, and they're having a little picnic on a big tiger skin thing.
Mm.
And this confused me as well, because she's obviously, like, she... I mean, as far as character development of Selena goes, Faye Dunaway's character, Selena the Witch, there's never really... It doesn't start... She doesn't get from anywhere to anywhere. She's just a grade A bitch from the beginning, right? Like, you don't go, oh, she's... Like, if she'd been a bit, if there'd been some sort of like intrigue about was she good, was she bad, then this thing, the Omega Hedron, falls out of the sky into some hummus or into Taramasalata, I think it looks like.
Yeah.
Lands in this splat anyway.
Mm.
If that slowly drove her evil, I'd be kind of on board.
Or if she started off subservient to Peter Cook's character and then at the end was the boss, that would be more interesting.
That would be interesting if he was a bit of a prick. He is a prick anyway.
Oh, he is a prick, so, but he's still he's still cowering to her all the way through.
Yeah, so if he's in charge at the beginning and then at the end she's the one and he's locked in a cage, spoilers, then you go, oh, that's a journey, that's a flip, good, that's great. But she just, they're sitting there talking shit and this thing falls out of the sky and she immediately picks it up. It's just a little silver bowl.
Yeah.
And she picks it up and goes, yep, that's me sorted. And then she does some spell to give herself immortality, which never comes into it again.
Well, she receives this orb. She immediately knows how to use it, and using its power, she leaves Peter Cook in the middle of nowhere, which is sort of a metaphor for his relationship with Dudley Moore.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's probably why he looked really cranky all the way through. Yeah. I think he thought Supergirl was going to be his catapult into Hollywood.
Yeah,
I think he thought, this is, I'll do this piece of shit, everybody will see it, and I'm on Easy Street. I'll be. They'll probably recast Arthur and make it me. But it's...
They'll make a film called 10-2. It'll be me.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see Peter Cook's fucking nicotine-stained balls weaving across the screen.
The thing is, you could make a case that, like, 1970 to 75 Peter Cook is better in 10 than Dudley Moore, but not 1984 Peter Cook.
No, 1984 Peter Cook is and the Clive Anderson thing is a long way in the future. So he's just sort of, he's just taking
basically
the paycheck,
just
isn't he?
Being an alcoholic and sort of phoning up talk shows in the middle of the night.
Yeah, doing this shtick, you know.
Going on cruises.
Yeah. It's me, Sir Bumbleton Fumbleton. Mm. Oh, it's Peter Cook doing one of his brilliant characters.
Yeah.
But he's just... I mean, I think he gives it a go, but I mean, no, it's not. It's
no,
I mean,
one can do anything with this role, though, really.
No, not really. And he's there. The thing about it is, does she do this every time something falls out of the sky? Like, if she's walking along in an acorn, she goes, oh, I'm on Easy Street now, picks up the acorn and starts going, power of shadow. And everybody's gone, she's lost her fucking mind. Now, in this case, she has got an alien artifact or whatever, power source.
Yeah.
So it's all good. And she can use it to tune the radio. which lets us know why Christopher Reeve isn't in it.
Yeah. Superman's gone on a peacekeeping mission to another galaxy.
Yeah, and then they say some really stupid like distance, like 750 million light years away. Mm. And you go, Superman ages at the same rate as everybody else. He'd be dead before he got there. But, you know, that's stupid. Yeah. But so he's gone. He's not on Earth. And that's the most stupid part of this film.
Exactly. But, I was thinking that.
You know, and then he goes, you can't go anywhere, Selina. I've got the keys. So she starts the car with this thing, which it's already handy.
Yeah.
And she leaves him. And then I was going to say Peter Cook sees Supergirl, but he doesn't. We see Supergirl in the bubble, still traveling through the vortex. Mm. The thing opens and she flies out of the lake. And you think, before you even go, what the fuck? Because that's a big photograph of Supergirl coming out of the lake. Did you know that?
Is it?
Yeah. When she initially comes out of the lake, the first time you see her kind of break the water, that's a full-sized photograph of Helen Slater in a flying pose that they just pulled out of the lake.
Oh my god, no, I had no idea.
Yeah, and so, but you don't, it's like, it looks fine. It looks good. You don't go, ooh.
The flying effects in this are great.
They are lovely.
Yeah.
They are really good. And there's even a bit coming up where she comes out of the thing at the lake and lands on the lakeside, and she's looking around and she's all again doing lots of kind of, oh, where the fuck am I, this is amazing, I've never seen anywhere like this. All good, I buy that, it's fine. She looks great in the Supergirl costume. It's a lovely costume. But then she does this odd thing. She picks up a rock and just squishes it to show how strong she is now, to show the viewer how strong she is now. And you're thinking, well, I'm glad she didn't land in a fucking crash, do you know what I mean? This blonde woman came in and started squishing the babies. It's a fucking bloodbath, you know. It's like, she was dressed like Superman.
That's weird.
So she does that, then she uses her heat vision to make a daisy open and all that sort of stuff. And then you're going, ah, oh, this is nice. This
she
is
does cool. a fart, and a bloke in a little dinghy goes 300 miles an hour.
Just flies over a mountain.
Into a volcano and dies.
Yeah, he's dead. She's like,
ooh. Ooh, those Argo beans.
Yeah, she flicks a bogey and just causes 9/11. But it's like,
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, so she's doing all this sort of stuff, and then does she do one of the many extended flying sequences?
Yes, she does. Yeah. She does like loads of sort of good wire work, by the way, but she's doing somersaults and flips and all sorts in midair.
Yeah, and I really liked it. Even though it was obvious she was hanging from wires, and I did, because I did my research, John. I went and found the making of Supergirl on YouTube, and oh god, there's not one part of that where one of the producers, I can't remember his name. Was it Spengler? He's just smoking. And you're kind of going, oh my God, I can feel my lungs. It's like he's got a fag in each hand. And he's going, when we cast Helen, I just knew it was the word. Yeah, and I'm sure he was a lovely man. I'm sure everything about it was legit. But it just seems like the back room of a Soho fucking drinking den where deals are done. But they were talking about the flying effects in this making of thing. And you see behind the scenes bits, and it's just a bunch of lads, like big muscly guys, pulling on a rope and she sort of lifts or drops and stuff like that. But it looks great. It looks really great. Like with things like Man of Steel, I hate the flying in that.
I hate it.
It looks really aggressive. If I could fly, I'd fly like they do. I'd be gliding and swooping and all this sort of stuff.
And also, whereas the secret to Superman's flying is the takeoff, where he does a little run and then...
Yeah.
But in the Man of Steel type things, he just like starts floating and then flies off. I hate it.
Well, but in the Man of Steel one as well, there's the first time he comes out of this Fortress of Solitude and he's all caped up and everything, and it's all, he goes, oh, he looks lovely. It's still not my favorite Superman costume, Christopher Reeve.
I hate it.
But it looks, I know they kind of go, well, it would be like ceremonial robes, wouldn't it? But when he gets down on his hands and he kneels down and the ground starts shaking and it's like he's fucking the ground or something. And just go, just take off, mate. No one's watching. You're in the middle of the fucking Arctic. Just fly off. But her flying, glorious. And even the front projection stuff where she's
perfect.
It's lovely. And it's,
and they've made her slightly different because she's, instead of being two hands out, she's got one sort of tucked in.
I like that. That's good, and whatever works for your Supergirl, that's all good. And and then she flies, but again, they do things that they do in Superman as well, where there's no real relationship geography wise to anything. So she's flying through a city, then she's flying over like just horses running through meadows and things, and you're like going, she flies really fast through
someone's pubic hair.
It's basically Martin Short's on her way out.
Yeah.
Just Martin Short's screaming face. But she does all of that. And then where does she end? Oh, God. So we'll just tick this box. Peter Cook looks up in the sky and sees a blur of red and blue flying away. Looks a bit confused because he, as everybody else has just heard on the radio, Superman's off in another galaxy. What's that then? Right? So she's flying about, and then she lands at nighttime in a city, right? And Max Headroom and another man who I'm sure always plays this type of role, but it's Matt Frewer and another guy, and they are truckers. And they walk up to her. Now she's, let's be honest, she's an attractive girl. She's blonde, shapely, wearing a Supergirl costume. And they're kind of going, oh, hello. Right. That's as far as you're allowed to go, guys. You're allowed to look and say, oh, she's attractive. That's where we are.
Fine.
Right? That's fine. That's just people. That's why the human race continues. We fancy each other. But they start circling her and they go, they're just creepy from the get-go. There's no doubt as to what these two men are up to. You know what I mean? And she goes, where are we? Again, sort of sounding a little bit drunk. And they go, this girl Lover's Lane or something like that, you know? And then one of them tries to lift her skirt up and she slaps his hand away. Good. But it gets quite horrible quite quick. It's obvious that they're going to rape her. And she, how does she get rid of Matt Frewer? Does she sort of with a super breath?
She blows. Yeah, not like that. Super like breath. That. Yeah, and it sends him through a wall. I think
through a wall. Okay, and you know the way if somebody threw you at a wall, like even if it was just made of wood, if somebody threw you or I at a wall with such force that you smashed through it, the first thing you do is sort of sit up and look slightly confused.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you wouldn't be screaming your head off because most of your bones are broken. You'd just be, that's that. So then she turns to the larger of the two gentlemen.
Who pulls a knife on her. Yeah.
And then she uses her heat vision on the knife to make it, she uses it and stops using it. And then the knife takes on a life of its own where the heat travels up it and he goes, ooh, and drops it. And does she do something? Does she kick him into space or anything? Or does she
gives him a kick and he goes through the same wall next to Matt Frewer.
Through the same wall, and then she flies off.
Yeah, she's and then gone. They're like, she's "Whoa, let's not tell anybody about this." I was like, well, "That's kind of what you'd say."
Circumstances.
Well, we were trying to rape this girl, right? And exactly. She beat us up and flew off.
Yeah, how was your day? Not good.
Yeah,
not good. You know the way I like to go out raping in the evening. Yeah.
Well, you are a truck driver, so that's
exactly.
That's why you always keep that off cut of carpet in the back of your truck.
But imagine if you were a truck driver taking your kids to see Supergirl. And you sit there, oh, this is good, clean fun. And she lands in the street.
It's funny because it's true.
He's the only one in the cinema laughing and slapping his leg. Happened to me last week. Didn't get through, kicked through a wall though. But it's in a film that tonally shifts mid scene. Because you are watching this and you're kind of going, oh, this is lovely. This is, you know, yeah. Oh, she's an evil witch. Oh, she's run off on him now. He's shaking his fist at the sky. Mm. And, oh, shit, she's going to get raped. She's going to get fucking raped.
This is it. Like you say, you want something that speaks to the experience of, a superhero for ostensibly for girls, because it was pretty unheard of at the time. You wouldn't have, Wonder Woman was on TV, but as far as movies go.
Well, so, you see, that's another thing that came up, in the sense that when good Wonder Woman, not the second one, when the Wonder Woman movie with Gal Gadot came out, everyone's going, oh, finally, finally a female-led superhero movie. And it's like, well, cast your mind back 30 years. Mm. You know, Supergirl. Mm. It might not have been a good movie, but
no one went to see
the lead.
It, but...
Did nobody go?
Think it made a lot of money, no.
Right, okay, it was just me.
It was just me,
I assume.
Yeah.
But you are, yeah, exactly. You're trying to, sorry, I interrupted. You're speaking to the experience of young girls.
Yeah, and you have the, I'm not saying all girls want to float around in the clouds and be like, ooh, pretty flowers, but it's something that speaks to a young girl, isn't it?
Have you met girls?
Yeah.
It's what they're all like.
But by the same token, we don't want to see more ones getting in danger of being raped.
No, there's a middle ground.
Yeah.
There's a middle ground.
And you know, it, this is written by a man, so that's what I'm going to say about that. perhaps run it by a woman and say, what sort of would you like to see in a superhero woman, a film for women? I don't know.
It's just a checklist of what a man thinks girls like.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, I would love to be able to fly. Mm. I would like to look pretty. I'd like rabbits. Mm. I'd like to not get raped. I'd like... You know, they love not getting raped. So they...
I'd like to have conversations in the shower with other girls.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah, that's just his likes. He's just
exactly.
writing that.
This is what I'm thinking. Know. I was going to bring it up later, but I might as well bring it up now. This film's littered with, if I was a girl, I'd have a shower with other girls and have a conversation with them.
That's the thing, isn't it? If you're a girl, you can see other girls' fannies for free.
Mm-hmm. You know, you just... have a look at their breasts.
Yeah. And maybe there's two evil girls who want to make us hot. We need Paul to just come in and do Bert right now.
Yeah. Well, I was looking what else he's written. He also wrote Masters Universe.
Did he?
Yeah, David Adele.
That is. Okay.
He also wrote The Dark Crystal.
So he has, I mean, he's written three things that are still being spoken about today.
Mm.
You know, I mean, haven't they made a TV show of The Dark Crystal like recently?
Yeah, it came and went. Yeah, it got cancelled, but it was good.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know his name probably from being of an age.
He was heavily involved in the Muppets.
Oh, okay.
He wrote the episode where Miss Piggy gets her tits out. I'm gonna play with my knockers.
Yeah, and then she goes out and narrowly avoids being raped.
Yeah, that's... by Waldorf and Statler.
Yeah, exactly. It's called Lover's Lane. What are you doing? Get back in your box. Pulls a flick knife.
I want to get in her box. Oh.
David, we're probably not going to do this sketch.
Yeah, all I don't right. Think so.
Well, I'll just start writing that Supergirl film I've been hired for. But so that's a very queasy scene. Couldn't she have just caught somebody robbing a store like the burglar and Superman, like
exactly.
the cat burglar?
Yeah,
couldn't have been. Imagine the cat burglar trying to rape Superman and Superman won. It's like, you know.
You got a pretty ass, Superman.
I mean,
think
he does.
Appropriate.
He looks great in that costume.
He looks wonderful.
You know, he looks amazing.
Yeah, both look wonderful.
They do. They do.
The
they
cat burger as well, I mean.
Oh, yeah, the cat burger is live. I mean, if it had been consensual, I'd have watched that all day long.
It's just a really, really weird scene to put in here. It suggests that if you're a woman, you're immediately going to be attacked by truckers as soon as you walk out at night.
Yeah. It's. Yeah. I mean, and does it... Does it? I'm trying to think what happens in that scene apart from that. It doesn't really move the plot along at all.
Oh, like, no.
Nothing. She just
because she goes
there.
Off and sleeps in the woods.
Yeah. Now.
Which is where they were going to put her anyway. So.
Yeah, it's like.
So. I, she killed two birds with one stone there.
just wakes up the next day, the truckers are leaving.
Yeah.
There's just some poor victim in the distance. Oh, you would have been bringing me. Fair enough, sorry. But it's that's so horrible. Horrible. Mm. But she wakes up next to a bunny rabbit and thankfully doesn't just squish it to death.
Yeah.
And she hears, oh yeah, a little, what, a rounder's ball or something like it lands near her. And the joyous chattering of happy children. And so she looks through the trees and she sees Midvale High and they're all playing. Is it rounders? It's baseball, isn't it? It's
baseball, softball, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever they play. It's probably softball because the girls.
But we've forgotten one scene.
Have we?
Yes, yeah, Selena's having a party.
Oh, has that already happened? Okay, yeah, she is.
It's just after the truckers. Selena's having a party. Nigel wants to know what the ball does.
Yeah.
And he says, I will not mix with your foot soldiers of the night.
Yeah. I mean, they do. You see, again, if this had grown throughout the film and it was maybe the influence of the Omega Hedron making them. If it was empowering their innate evil.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. If it was, you know, then I'd sort of buy it. But they talk like a pair of pricks all the way through. It's like. I had forgotten this party scene. I wouldn't, if you and me were having a picnic, right, and then something fell into the picnic and you ran away.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be turning up to that party you'd arranged later on. I'd be in a right fucking.
You mean because I made you walk like an owl with a stuffed tiger over your shoulder and a picnic basket?
Yeah,
yeah. You quite rightly, you wouldn't.
I'd be. There'd be an awful lot of fucking. We'd need to have a chat.
Yeah,
but it's like. It's what made you do that, John? You go, I found this thing. I saw you found it, but what made you fuck off without me? But it's so there. Yeah, the party's and she's sort of just doing this kind of bored kind of. Oh, this is.
I don't get
now.
It because we're suggesting here that she has no interest whatsoever in Peter Cook, right?
Yeah.
And then he starts chatting out Sandra Dickinson.
She loses it,
and Selena loses it, and makes Sandra Dickinson spin around the room on her head.
Yeah, and then, and again, you see, I don't know what the rules of this world are, because I get that this is meant to be a coven or whatever. You know, they're all into black magic, and that's why they're hanging out in a ghost train with all weird stuff around. Mm. I get that, and they're going to be her foot soldiers of the night. Mm. Fine. Okay, whatever the fuck that means, but fine. And then, yeah, he goes over and starts chatting to Mrs. Peter Davison, and then she spins around a bit, upside down, and she's shrieking, going, ah! And then she goes... What happened? And you go, well, you know what happened? You were there and it happened a second ago.
I wonder if this was made this was a couple of years after Peter Davison's first two episode, wasn't it, where he was floating around?
This came out in 1984, so I imagine it was made in 1983. Yeah. So we're talking season 20, Doctor Who. Yeah. The King's Demons season. So, you know, neither of them were having a great time on screen.
No, they weren't.
You know, and Sandra Dickinson... is doing that, and I remember at the time, and I'm trying to think how old I was, 10? Maybe 10, 11? I remember fancying Brenda Vaccaro.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to throw up in your own mouth, but it's like, but you see her now, and she's probably younger than me.
Yeah.
Maybe. But she just looks like a sort of lousy old barmaid, and she's always got a fag in her hand.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's a lot of casual smoking in this for a children's film.
Loads of it, yeah.
Even at this party, there's a woman who wanders through, kind of, she's sort of the wipe at the beginning of the scene where she walks through with a bag, and they're all just at it and smoking away and everything. Does Peter Cook? Yeah, he smokes in this. She lights a cigarette with her finger. Yeah, and it's just like, oh, okay, I guess we'll smoke.
I was starting to get annoyed with every time you see Faye Dunaway, there's like soft focus and really big lighting all over her face.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you could have started that sentence with, I started to get annoyed every time I saw Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
But, you know, but yeah, she is, it's all, and sort of there's a wind machine never further than 6 feet away. Her hair is always kind of lightly billowing. Mm. And yeah, she's overlit. So all those, you know, experience, her experience on her, that she wears on her face has been it. You don't see as much of that. She's very heavily made up. She must have been, I know how old she was. She was about, I think she was born in 1938.
41 she was born.
41.
So all she's, right, so she's what?
43. Yeah. Looks good, doesn't
it? Yeah, she does.
But again, she's younger than I am now. But how old was Peter Cook?
Oh, yeah, he was born in the 30s, wasn't he? Let's have a look.
Was he? Because... he looks fucked.
1937, but I mean, he... so he's 47, 48.
Again, younger than me.
Mm.
Yeah, God. So he looks dreadful. He just looks like he spent most of his, from about the age of 14 or 15, at public school, he looks like he's been smoking and drinking on a daily basis, which probably isn't incorrect.
No, you know what I mean? He just looks
fucked. So, yeah, I mean, Faye Dunaway, and for somebody who is brilliant in other films, I don't know what she's up to here. It's like, they've gone, well, you're a witch. And she goes, so they all talk like this, do they? And they go, well, not all the time. No, it's all the time. You know, can you imagine her just fucking changing her gas suppliers? I got a cheaper deal. It's very hard to listen to after a while.
And it's just a bit of an odd performance.
It's a very strange performance.
But this is from the director of Jaws 2.
Jeanette Schwartz,
who then went on to make Santa Claus the Movie as well for the same producers.
I'm gonna say something controversial. I don't hate Jaws 2.
Oh, I don't either. No, I like it.
It's not fit to wash like fucking Jaws 1's arse. But as far as just an adventure movie, it's fine. You know, and the end of it where he electrocutes the shark. I like that bit.
It's got the washed up killer whale with a big bite in it as well. That's fun.
That's really good. Mm. Yeah. So there's a lot to like in Jaws 2. But this guy seems to be... Jeanette Schwartz is a guy.
Mm. Yeah.
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 I mean, not setting the world on fire, but I mean, again, Santa Claus the Movie is a thing that people still go, oh, do you remember that? Dudley Moore's in that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... And Santa Claus came out in what, 1986, like that?
85, the following year.
Oh, God. So that must have been a fucking tense set. So what are you, Peter Cook's there, what are you doing next year? Oh, just a Santa Claus movie. Who's in it? No one you know. I was just heard Dudley was doing something. No. Who told you that? Nonsense. But
I mean, if anything, I'd have been quite happy that Dudley Moore was doing Santa Claus the Movie.
Instead of...
Well, because it's worse than this, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've not seen... You see, Dudley Moore's career was the... It peaked with Arthur, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and 10 was pre-Arthur?
Yes.
Okay. So, he had a good
run. He did
loads
of terrible romantic comedies around the early 80s.
Is he in... I might be misremembering this, but is he in Blame It on Rio?
No, that's Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, right, yeah.
The world's worst film about paedophilia ever made.
And there's a good few of them.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, Dudley Moore ended up finishing out the 80s by doing that terrible Arthur sequel.
Oh, on the rocks. Yeah.
And then he did loads of comedies that no one watched, and then he got very ill.
Yes. Oh, bless. Yeah. I mean, you know, he had a good innings, but I mean, on the rocks is fucking appalling.
Yeah,
I don't particularly like Arthur. I mean, I think we're in an era of films where awful behaviour is rewarded, sort of. You know what I mean? And it's like he's just a pain in the ass man child who's drunk all the time.
Yeah,
and yet people find that charming. Mm. It's just I won't.
Well, Will Ferrell's made a career out of it, so.
Yeah, but I mean, there's something about Will. I mean, it's not. Is he damaging people's lives?
Yeah.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he smashes things up and goes, I'm shouting like a baby. Everyone goes, Will Ferrell.
Oh, I love that guy. Yeah. It's hard to watch. But again, talking about films about paedophilia, we're not a million miles away in this thing.
No, I was going to mention this because, but as you say, she wakes up outside the school.
Hmm.
Has a look at all the girls, and then somehow, I mean, this is number one of her powers.
Oh, even get me. Yeah.
She walks along and magically transforms into somewhere else.
Yeah, now...
And I know that's kind of what Clark Kent does in a way, but you can...
There's a few Superman transformations that I'm not clear on.
Yeah.
But it's...
The one where he drops out of the window in the first one and just changes immediately.
He jumps out the window and he's falling in a kind of in a dive, and his clothes start to change. And at one point during the transformation, he's got his top as Superman, but he's wearing Clark Kent's trousers and shoes, and it just looks really funny. But,
Father for Justice.
I just want to see my kids. Superman, that helicopter's crashing. She won't let me see them. But there's a scene as well, I think it's in Superman 2, where he's in an alleyway and he's running and he pulls his shirt open as he runs and his clothes sort of billow away into Superman's outfit.
Now, it morphs in a blur, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but I love it. It looks good, but it doesn't
I had
sense
the look-in poster of that on my wall when I was a kid. So it was a picture of him.
Me too.
at one end being Clark and the other end flying off as Superman in a big blur. Loved it.
I had the exact same poster. Mm. Yeah, it's what got me buying Looking, because they used to put quite a bit of Superman stuff in. And then I think it was things like the Robin and Sherwood comic strip that I just thought, and I quite like Looking.
Street Hawk as a blueprint. I had that on my wall.
Oh, fucking Street Hawk.
Yeah.
Loved Street Hawk. Yeah, Jesse. God. Oh. Jesse Mark. That only made 11 episodes or something like that. But do you know, with Street Hawk, there's an episode of Street Hawk where it's the end and they're at a carnival or something. Mm. And Norman Tuttle says, how'd you want your burger? He goes, do you want a burger? He goes, yeah. He goes, no onions, right? And for about 2 years, whenever I was given a burger, I'd say, how'd you want your burger? I'd say, no onions, because that's a Street Hawk Dunkin' burger.
Nice.
I love onions on a burger. Oh. So I was doing myself out of it. But,
it's because he didn't want to have any Skid Mac in his pants the next day.
We should write a Street Hawk movie and just fill it with Mac jokes.
Just call it Street Hawk : The Return.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just him coming out of crossover. It's him coming out of Martin Short's screaming ass.
That's
on a motorbike, full size. But
what was the thing he used to do? It was a button he'd press and he'd go super fast, which I fucking loved.
Yeah, but also not in any way it helped, because if you're on a motorbike, I used to get 300 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So if I was on a motorbike and it was heading down the street and I made it go at 300 miles an hour by pressing a button, they would just be scraping me off the building in front of me. You can't react. There's no reaction time to that. It's stupid.
Especially if you're coming out of Martin Short's arsehole.
Exactly. You're coming out of a blind alley, smack out the other end, into probably Dennis Quaid's face.
Oh.
That doesn't happen in inner space. Dennis Quaid doesn't peer up as Dennis Quaid. How does Dennis Quaid get out briefly?
He goes into Martin Short's mouth and he kisses Meg Ryan.
Oh, so he ends up in Meg Ryan's mouth.
He goes in Meg Ryan's body and then sees their baby in her tummy.
And then just quickly aborts it because he's not looking for anything serious.
And he draws a moustache on it.
Just a baby comes out with big fucking Groucho Marx glass in front of us.
Why have you tattooed this on?
We could have washed it off. I know, but I had no marker, but for some reason had a full tattoo kit down there.
I thought it was like a birthmark.
Yeah, but also as the child gets older, the moustache will get smaller than the glasses. So it's like,
that's what happened to Hitler.
Yeah.
He had a big old fucking W.G. Grace beard.
Yeah. Tattooed on by his dad, who was inside his mum.
He was trying to kill baby Hitler, but he got the instructions wrong and drew on him.
Would you go back in time and draw on Hitler? Yeah, I would.
Yeah, definitely. But ridicule's a more powerful weapon.
Absolutely, yeah, humour. Yeah. Being laughed at. But she walks, because, right, just very quickly, I've always assumed Superman's thing was that Earth's yellow sun, it doesn't even make sense. It enhanced all the abilities humans have, like, to an extent, so he has super strength, super speed, super eyesight, but then nobody can fly, so it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the gravity is different on here than it is on Krypton.
Yeah, but you're here now, so... Mm. Gravity is gravity. But anyway, she walks behind some trees and flippity flippity flip is now a brown haired girl called Linda Lee.
Yeah.
She's in the uniform of the
Linda
school.
Lovelace.
Yeah. And Linda Lovelace. Is this our first sighting of Ethan, played by Hart Buckner?
Hart Buckner. Ellis from Die Hard, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And he's great in Die Hard. He's such a fucking knob. Yeah. And in this. Okay, well, we'll get to him. I mean, is he topless in this scene?
I think he might be, yeah.
Is he?
He's like the sort of handyman on the school grounds, isn't he?
He's the handyman for the entire area.
It's like Hagrid. Apparently.
Yeah, yeah, but like a really, really good-looking Hagrid. Mm. And they hit him, the ball... And again, even fucking softballs in this thing don't make sense, because Lucy Lane hits the ball, they're playing softball, it hits him in the back, he turns around with a little smile and throws it back to them.
Yeah.
All good. It doesn't hurt. And yet later, one of the bullies smacks that ball at Lucy Lane to hurt her.
Yeah.
And Kara, as Linda Lee, jumps in the way and the fucking thing explodes on her back.
Explodes. That doesn't make any sense.
No, because who... Is the ball really weak, or is the bully incredibly strong, or both? I don't know, but that's a whole thing that happens in the future. As it is, Linda Lee watches a bit of softball, walks into the school, and I don't know, again, John, we're going to just pull this apart a little bit. She's looking for the Omega Hedron. Why is she checked into a school?
I guess so she can do it incognito. It doesn't make any sense now. Why did she need to be incognito?
Again, yeah, and there's a lot of stuff said throughout the film about, I'm doing this undercover. Are you? Why? Just, you know, the thing that's keeping your world alive has been sent here. You've been sent. You've come to get it back. Just focus on that. You know what I mean? I would sit on the roof of the tallest building with that bracelet that she uses as a tracker and just wave it about till it told me where it was. And if a witch had it, I'd go down there and, being Supergirl, I'd pull her fucking head off.
Yeah.
Take a shit down her neck, take the Amiga Hedron, jump back in the lake. Yeah, done.
Done.
You've got a 15-minute film.
She was only there 15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I'm back again. Zoltar, listen, don't worry about the Phantom Zone. Stay here, but don't fuck about, all right? And that's it. That's your closing scene.
And then everyone's in Argo's like, I think he needs to stay in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, he's just going to make more fucking trees. Look what we've done with the place. We've broken all the trees up. There's loads of room.
It's like fucking Slarty Bartfast. All I can make is trees, Kara. But she says to the principal that she's the cousin of Clark Kent. And he's like, well, where's your letter of recommendation? And then he gets called away. And she types one really fast and puts it in his filing cabinet. I don't think that's how it works.
No, also, there's a like, time, I may, we're just picking holes now, but I mean, I think time-wise, she goes, what is it? There's a film where somebody looks at the, they do the same thing that happens in this film, that she looks, he goes, what's your name? And she quickly looks at the poster, and it says General Robert E. Lee, and she goes, Lee. So picks a name, because she goes, oh, that's obviously an Earth name. And then it just says Linda. Like, she knows the name Linda. So
she sees his copy of Deep Throat.
Yeah, exactly. My name's Linda Throat. But there's a film somewhere where somebody goes, what's your name? And he looks at something and it says
Family Guy.
What's the name that he makes? Is it a made-up name or something like that?
He says, because his name's Peter Griffin, she says, what's your name? And he looks, someone's eating a pea, and he goes, pea. Someone's crying, and he goes, tear. And then he looks over, and there's a Griffin, and he goes, Griffin. Peter Griffin.
That's one of the best jokes. Yeah. So she does the whole Linda Lee thing, and then Peter Cook comes in a fit, having a proper conniption.
Oh, that's right, it was him,
you know, he goes, and I thought, oh, that's a nice bit of... writing, and that they connected up the two worlds with, you know, him being a teacher at the school. And he goes, they've nailed my drawer shut. Now, if I was that headmaster, I'd go, you're a grown man.
Yeah.
You're a grown, just unnail your drawers.
And you're a fucking warlock, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Give one of them the shits.
Give them AIDS. You know what I mean? Just, you know, whoever's nailed your door shut, have them wake up the next day feeling a bit shivery. And, you know, that's AIDS.
Hello, there you go. It's Benetton here. We're here for the photo shoot. What photo shoot?
Yeah, there's been a development. So the headmaster leaves. The headmaster leaves the door, leaves this room for what seems like about 3 seconds, because she scoots around the desk, puts it into the filing cabinet, legs are back around the desk, and he comes back in. He's only had time to really go out. So unless the classroom's outside his door,
I think he needs a break wind.
Yeah, he just was like, he just went out farted. Tony went out farted and said to that guy, handle your shit, and went back inside, you know. And then he looks in K. Again, if this was made today, there wouldn't be an awful lot of these things happening, because when she walks into his office, he's taking loads of pills and going, don't let them get to you. It's a man having a mental illness. Like, he's got mental health issues. Yeah. And we're meant to go, ha, 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 you know. But he is a cock. So she... he looks at the thing, is convinced that it's Clark Kent. Cousin.
Even though it's very fruity and she doesn't know Clark Kent's writing style or anything. It's like, dear principal, please accept my kindness. It's like, that's not Clark Kent.
Imagine if she'd only got How Earth People Write from the back of Deep Throat.
Please accept this hot bitch to your school.
This is my cousin. She sucks and fucks like a train. Please accept her into your school where she's going to finger your tight butthole and will fit right in. Lots of love, and I mean that, swallowing, never spitting. Fuck.
Well, this all seems in order.
This all seems perfectly in order. So I'll just bring you down to his girlfriend. Oh, and then again, this all happens very quickly. Mm. He accepts her into the school. They wander through, and it's like there's all these girls with face packs on, and so, which is fine, you know. Mm. But he shouldn't really wander into their dorm if they
no,
all.
No, he shouldn't.
You know, it's like, you know, there should be some sort of warning. But wanders in. There's all these half-clad women, and they all run off to their rooms. And then he goes to Lucy Lane, who is repulsive.
Absolutely awful character.
Yeah, just like it's kind of they're trying to play this kind of sassy, wisecracking kind of almost, you know, like 30s PI kind of way of talking.
His Girl Friday type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm not saying the actress is bad. She's working what she's got. But yeah. I mean, she looks like all teenagers in 80s films, except for Helen Slater, who was a teenager. They all seem to be played by women in their mid-20s or later. Like, and she's going, oh, bloody hell, I thought I'd have my room to myself. And then they do this kind of shtick where she goes, we've known each other forever. No, we've just met. And the principal's like, oh, well, I'll leave you two nutty kids to it. And he leaves them there. Then Linda, Supergirl, sees a poster of her cousin on the wall. Oh, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. She goes, I'm Clark Kent's cousin. That's what makes Linda warm to her. What's her name? Lane, Lucy.
Lucy Lane, Lucy. And she's Linda Lee, because they make a joke. Yeah. He goes, this is Lucy Lee and Linda Lane.
Yeah, and then she goes, oh, no, I'm Linda Lee. She goes, oh, do you know each other? Because he's a fucking idiot.
And then he goes, you know each other? Oh, and he starts masturbating.
You know each other? Do you have a kiss? Why don't you do that now? Why don't you have a little kiss? Have a little kiss now. pulls a flick knife, because that's...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.